Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Sean Murphy's here. Sean is a friend of ours. He's got a brand new book out called The Optimistic Workplace. He's an independent consultant with many years of experience working with companies just like yours and mine to help us put our workplace in order, get it, and the folks we work with are what I call our organizational stakeholders, which today could be employees or could be contractors. That's the reason I like the term organizational stakeholders. They're the people who've got a stake in your game, and they're inside your four walls, and that's what Sean's new book is all about. Sean Murphy, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. It's as you know, it's not that I know anything about birthing babies, but it's kind of like one.
That's exactly right. That's what I tell men is it's as close as you'll ever come. So okay, let's talk about I was talking to the audience earlier in the previous segment. And I said something about, you know, are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Are you somewhere in between? And that whatever you are, though, which you may not be able to help, because you know we're kind of the product of our DNA and our raising, whatever you are may be the way your organization is, right?
Well, I definitely think there is a connection there for sure. Absolutely.
Well, I used to say that when I was in the military, I could meet a private and talk to that private and have a pretty good idea about the culture that the commander of that organization was putting down.
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting about optimists as people or pessimists is, you know, there is a part where there's a choice. And I agree with you that we are a product of our upbringing and certainly DNA. When it comes to the work environment, though, you know, I like to point out that there's another distinction separate from culture in its climate. And climate is what it feels like to work somewhere, and a manager has significant influence over the climate, more so than the culture, because culture is hard to change.
Talk to us about the difference.
Yeah, so culture is how things get done around a business. Climate, as I mentioned, is how it feels, and so it's based on employee perception. Mm-hmm. So if my perception is that I come to work and it's invigorating, or my perception is that I come to work and it's kind of a drag, that's going to influence how I then interact with my colleagues. That's going to influence how I interact in doing my work. But if I have a manager who is good in motivating and inspiring me, I'm going to find it to be a much more enjoyable work experience. And that's where the book really zeroes in, is how do you influence the climate so that people can have a good work experience.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, talk to us about what it looks like when it's negative, when it's what you call destructive management practices.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point these out simply because I don't want people to think that it's all, you know, seeing the organization through rose-colored glasses. You know, in the book, I talk about different symptoms. One of the symptoms is blind impact. And blind impact basically is a manager who doesn't have a clue about what his or her impact is on the climate and on people. You know, they kind of go about their day just really thinking about what their day is and not what the day is.
And if they're a negative influence, then they just rain that all over everybody.
They're spreading it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Another symptom is what I call constipated inspiration. And really all this is just another kind of symptom that's coming from lack of awareness. So the leader might not be sure how to actually inspire people. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the word manager. It comes with a lot of baggage. I think leaders today are there to inspire performance, and so they have to know what inspires each employee.
Right. All right, so that's an example of a destructive. How, if somebody's looking around, they're thinking, yeah, that sounds like us, or a variation on that theme, what would be the first step to turn that around?
Well, there are six different actions that a leader can take. I'll share a couple of them with you. One is create clarity. And creating clarity is really making sure that employees understand what the goals are, understand what the priorities of the business are, and how the employee contributes to those goals, and how employees' work is structured based on the work priorities. I can't begin to tell you how many times I go into an organization and I see employees running around, to, you know, going from one fire drill to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often because the business doesn't have any prioritization.
Those seem like organizational mm-hmm. challenges, but you're tying them to optimism or pessimism?
Sure. Well, predominantly optimism. And here's the connection. The connection is if I am clear on what it is that I need to do, it makes room for optimism to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not clear on that, then it's really difficult for optimism to even be possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of paving the way, if you will, for it.
Because I've gone in thousands of businesses in my career, big ones and little ones in the middle, and I've seen organizations that were happy but weren't very functional. I've seen organizations where the people weren't all that happy, and they got the job done.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, there's another symptom of optimism gone awry, and that is what I call the country club effect, where it feels good to work somewhere.
Yeah.
But and everybody's like happy that they're there, but right. Like you pointed out,
they're not going to last long.
Getting done. No, they're not going to last long. And we do have to keep in mind that this is a business, and a business exists partly to generate value for its customers and for its.
We also are human beings living a life. Why can't our work experience be a positive impact on that too while we're doing good, right? I mean, there's no reason why we can't do that.
And that's an important point for workplace optimism. We spend a third of our life working. So why not mm-hmm. be the leader who creates a good experience for their people?
Does optimism have a big impact on innovation?
Absolutely, it
does. Can we talk about that in the next segment?
Sure.
Because as Sean, as I know, and as we talk about on the show all the time, if you're not continually innovating, you're going to get run over. And so we're going to get Sean to connect optimism and innovation after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blessing. The book is called The Optimistic Workplace.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.